Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to EMS Live in Wisconsin. This program is recorded.
Well, welcome to EMS Live in Wisconsin. Today is Tuesday, March 8, 2016. This is Joe Cavelli with the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin. Pleased to have along with me on the ride today, Chris Anderson. Hey, Chris, how you doing in Milwaukee today?
Hey, Joe. We are doing well. It's not sunny, but it's warm.
All right. Breakfast is done. Dishes are completed, and we're
ready to
kick off the show, right? We heard Chris doing the dishes here leading up to it.
I'm good to go. So.
All right. Well, we welcome you to another edition of EMS Live in Wisconsin. We have a great show planned for you, so we appreciate you calling in or listening on the internet. I want to just go back in time to last month, our February 9th program. We discussed some very important federal legislation that has been introduced at the U.S. House of Representatives, and it involves controlled narcotics that ambulances carry. DEA, for the longest time, has allowed this gray area to kind of just happen in how they manage and regulate ambulance services. But the requirement now is to kind of tighten some things up. And thank you to our Wisconsin EMS and Trauma Medical Director, Dr. Suzanne Martins, for bringing this to our attention. We're going to continue the conversation in this area of proposed legislation that DEA is encouraging. So our March 22 live show will have Wisconsin DEA Supervisor Kathy Federico. She's been a previous guest on our program. And also American Ambulance Association Vice President of Government Affairs, Tristan North. Both of them will be joining us again on March 22. And we're looking for your support with this. If you'd like more information, you can find it on the PAW website, paaw.us. Hey, Chris, I know you've done some interesting things with your employees at Bell Ambulance in Milwaukee on this whole initiative with the proposed legislation. Do you mind sharing what you've done with our audience?
No, not at all. I'm happy to talk about it. Some of you know Jason Flegner. He is part of our management team here, and he came up with the idea of setting up some computer workstations and asking our staff if they'd be willing to email their Congress members of the House and ask them to support this bill. We took the National Association of EMS Physicians letter template and we used that. We showed people the website to use to find your representatives, and we've had about 150 to 160 letters sent via email. And I think, you know, people started seeing the connection because we actually started getting responses later on in the process, specifically from Paul Ryan's office, Speaker Paul Ryan's office, Congresswoman Gwen Moore from Milwaukee, as well as Glenn Grothman from Ozaukee County. So hopefully, you know, we're just one small part of the puzzle, but hopefully what we did can help.
Very good. And if you'd like some more information on what we're referring to with DEA and this proposed legislation, it is listed on our archive as the February 9th broadcast. Thanks, Chris, very much for filling us in on that. We'll have more on our March 22 live show, so we invite you to join us then. For today's broadcast, recently the Wisconsin Department of Health Services Division of Public Health produced a notice here recently regarding a current investigation and an outbreak of bloodstream infections caused by a bacteria. Bacteria name is Elizabeth Kingia. Elizabeth Kingia infection has been detected in 44 patients located in southeastern and southern Wisconsin. It seems like we've been, you know, hearing more and more about bacteria and virus type outbreaks. The Zika virus comes to mind, so we'll be chatting with our guest here a little bit more about that too also. But past ones that come to mind are SARS, N1H1, flu virus, and last year I think we started to hear a lot about the Ebola incident. I know probably a lot of you bought a lot more safety equipment to prepare for a potential widespread outbreak. Thank goodness that did not happen. So in just a minute, we'll have our program guest, Stephanie Smiley, who is the director of the Bureau of Communicable Diseases for the Division of Public Health with the state of Wisconsin, join us. And then at about 15 minutes or 20 minutes after the program, or into the program, I should say, we'll switch gears, a little pun intended there, and chat with Justin Foley. Justin is affiliated with a motorcycle riding group called EMS Road Docs. We'd like to share a little bit more with you about that group. Today's program will run about 30 minutes, and it's sponsored by J&B Medical, Aladtech, Jefferson Fire and Safety, and Cardiotronics. You're listening to EMS Live in Wisconsin. We'll start our program after this brief message.
J&B Medical Supply is one of the nation's largest medical product distribution companies. With thousands of top-quality EMS products and services at better prices, J&B Medical is your only call. Order a copy of their extensive catalog at jmbmedical.com or contact Wisconsin Territory Representative Josh Tebow at 616-915-6392. That's 616-915-6392. At J&B Medical, their mission takes precedence over margins.
Hi, this is Joe Cavelli. For nearly 10 years, I used a Aladtech scheduling tool for my EMT shifts. Having had this personal experience, I'd like to share how easy it was to submit my work availability to management and be assigned shifts. It was also easy to pick up open shifts or trade with others. I could even view my work schedule for the month, week, or day and know who else I was working with well ahead of that first 911 call. Best of all, I could access my schedule and all the great features offered by Aladtech right on my smartphone, tablet, or computer. Are you using the grease board or paper handouts yet for your work schedules? If so, that is a thing of the past. You'll discover, too, that Aladtech is more than just a scheduling tool. It offers many other great features as well. To learn more about Aladtech's features or to sign up for a free trial version, visit aladtech.com. That's A-L-A-D-T-E-C.com. Online employee scheduling and workforce management is much easier, faster, and better with Aladtech.
EMS Live in Wisconsin is produced by the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin. To speak with the co-hosts or guests during the live show, dial 646-929-1081 and press number 1 on your keypad. Or send an email to emslive@paaw.us. And now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Wisconsin EMS Live. This is Joe Cavelli, joined by Chris Anderson. If you have a question or would like to comment on the conversation that we're having and you're listening via the phone, just press number 1 on your keypad. Happy to bring you into the call. Chris is also monitoring our email inbox, and you can always send a question or comment to our email, which is emslive@paaw.us. I'm pleased to bring into the conversation and welcome to the program Stephanie Smiley. Stephanie, hello and welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much for being with us. We introduced you before the break, Director of Bureau of Communicable Diseases with the state of Wisconsin. And recently we saw the release that the state had put out on the Elizabethkingia bacteria that apparently is becoming a little bit more prevalent or known, I should say, in the southern part of the state. What can you tell us about the Elizabethkingia bacteria and your awareness to things right now?
Sure. So our department was first notified of a potential outbreak when 6 cases were reported between the 29th of December and January 5th. So, a lot of folks were, home for the holidays and doing those types of things. And we were notified of 6 cases of this unusual bacteria. And so we immediately contacted our partners at the federal level, the CDC, to see what they could tell us about this bacteria and launched an investigation in order to figure out the source, trying to figure out where this might be coming from. And one thing that we have learned over the course of the last couple of months with this bacteria is that it is something that Elizabethkingia can live in the soil, it can live in the environment, it can live in water, but what's interesting about this particular strain of Elizabethkingia is that it has not really been found or reported in infecting bloodstream of people before. So this is definitely something that is unique, and it is a complex situation that we are working diligently to try to figure out the source.
What patients are at risk with bacteria such as this one?
Well, what we're seeing is that it's primarily patients who are older, older than 65, with some serious underlying health conditions. So we're talking about patients, who may have one or more conditions like cancer or renal failure or cirrhosis, those types of things. And what's happening is that these individuals, they may reside in a healthcare setting, you know, like assisted living, or they may reside at their homes, and suddenly they're getting very ill. And then they are needing to go to the hospital and get tested for, whatever is making them sick. And, again, these are individuals who are typically pretty ill to begin with, but suddenly they're taking a turn for the worse. So what's happening is they're collecting blood and coming up with this particular organism, elusive leukemia. From there, at the testing at labs within the clinical settings, then we're taking those specimens and sending them to the State Lab of Hygiene for further testing to make sure that it is, a match to this particular outbreak, because Elizabeth Kenya has been reported, but this particular strain or this species of Elizabeth Kenya, that's the part that's really different about this outbreak. It's Elizabeth Kenya anopheles. And CDC has been helping us determine that it is Elizabeth Kenya anopheles.
Right. Have there been any deaths reported with this that you're aware of, Stephanie?
Yes. Unfortunately, there have been.
Here?
Yes, there have been deaths of individuals who have contracted this. However, it is difficult for us to tell if it was, if Elizabeth Kenya was a contributing factor, if it was the cause, or if it was their other serious health conditions that, perhaps they were already very, very ill when they contracted this.
Right. Okay. That's pretty important to know about.
Mm-hmm.
What are some presenting signs or symptoms that a first responder, emergency medical technician, paramedic, somebody that is called to render aid, what are some things that maybe they should be looking out for? Obviously taking precautions,
mm-hmm.
but what are some things maybe they should be looking for as they see the patient?
So the symptoms of a blood infection are very similar across blood infection. So you're going to have fever, shortness of breath, chills. But what we're seeing with these patients is that they're turning septic. So, very serious condition there, as well as having cellulitis, skin infections, and rashes. So that's kind of the symptoms that we're seeing with these particular patients.
Okay. How about the responders? Standard precautions?
Standard precautions,
gloves?
Yeah.
Masks,
standard precautions for these. We don't believe that it is being transmitted person to person at this point. Basically what we're seeing, we're doing a lot of interviewing of patients, a lot of interviewing of healthcare providers of those patients, interviewing family members to learn more about how these patients are living, what they're eating, where they're going, who's visiting them, any products that they're using. And what we're finding is that these, because it's kind of spread across 11 counties in the state and it's pretty sporadic in terms of where these infections are occurring, we don't believe that it's something that, individuals are passing from one another. And I will also say that relatively healthy individuals may have the ability to fight this. So it is something, on their own without antibiotics. So it is possible that, there may be folks who have this bacteria and are just able to fight it and may not know. It is something
right.
that we're definitely looking into.
Very good. Chris, do you have anything for Stephanie or anything come in via email?
No, nothing yet. It's good to hear that the transmission is not person to person, but I guess that does bring up some, you start to ask then, well, could that change one day? I don't want to sound like a movie script, but.
Right. No, I think that that's all, this is all something that we're looking at because it is unique and it is a complex investigation. We're looking for those common patterns. What are the things that these patients have in common with each other? Is it, certain treatments, those types of things. We really are keeping our options wide open in terms of looking at potential sources because we don't want to put all of our our energy into one particular hypothesis and turn out, coming up empty-handed, and then we could have been pursuing other things. So that's why we have several people here, actually, boots on the ground assistants from CDC helping us do these interviews and looking through all of the patient records, really trying to come up with common themes. And it's something that is, highly labor-intensive, but this is really important for us to work on and get to the bottom of.
Right, Elizabeth. Stephanie, thank you very much for elaborating on that very, very much. We appreciate it. I wanted to also chat about the Zika virus. We've heard a lot about the Zika virus the last few months. Initially, it was, you get stung or bit by a mosquito. It transmits to a woman who's pregnant. Baby has birth defects with a smaller than normal head. Then the concern was, is it going to transmit human to human? And then there's a case that pops up, I think it was Texas, where it was by sexual contact, human to human. So now we've got a game changer here with this, and we have seen the map start to become colorful with other cases popping up across the U.S. We're coming into the spring summer season. Mosquitoes obviously predominant here throughout Wisconsin. What can you offer to us as far as the Zika virus in Wisconsin?
Sure. So what I will tell you, there is some good news with this, is that Wisconsin's mosquitoes are a different type of mosquito. So at this point, the mosquitoes that carry this virus, it's the same mosquito that carries dengue and chikungunya, those types of more tropical type of diseases, that's the same mosquito. So we don't have those here in our state, which is, lucky for us. What we are probably going to see are travel-associated cases. So individuals who are traveling to areas where those mosquitoes live, and they're coming back to Wisconsin, and having the, may have the virus and may not know that they do. So certainly those are things, people that are traveling to places that have these mosquitoes, like Puerto Rico, that is the place that we know for sure within the U.S. Territories that do have this mosquito. Traveling places like that, we know that there is a possibility that it may end up, the mosquitoes may come into the southern parts of Florida and places like that. So individuals who are traveling to those areas, should take proper precautions of protecting themselves against getting bitten by mosquitoes.
Okay, that's very good news for Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that is true. That was something we were kind of concerned about, Joe, I think, when we talked earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. Well, one thing that is definitely blooming that Chris had mentioned is the flu in Milwaukee and I'm sure elsewhere throughout the state. Maybe as long as we have a couple minutes, Stephanie, if you don't mind giving us a quick update on the flu and how it's progressing through the state. It's going to be around a little bit longer, although we have some nice mild temperatures here lately.
Indeed. So what we're seeing is definitely an uptick in flu cases, which is a later season than normal. It's something, normally we see onset, people start getting sick in October, and we just weren't seeing anything this year. So it was kind of a different season for us. I will say that the strain that we're seeing that's most common are the H1N1 viruses, which is, as you recall, back in 2009, was a sort of novel virus that was affecting younger people. We always tend to think of influenza as affecting, individuals with compromised immune systems who are older and, infants. And that's no different in this case. However, we do see that it does, H1N1 hits middle-aged individuals and school-aged kids a bit harder than maybe, say, some other strains. It is not too late to get that flu shot. And one thing we know about H1N1 is sometimes it does go on through the summer. So it is something that, yes, even though we're getting warmer temperatures and we're going to be thinking about swimming pools and other types of diseases that come out in the summertime, this is one that, we may see end up, kind of lingering longer than we've seen in the past.
Okay, very good. Chris, did you have anything for Stephanie?
No, I, as always, appreciate the information. It's great when we have such a variety of guests on the show.
Yes, very, Stephanie, thank you very much. I know this is very timely, talking about the Elizabeth Kingia virus. It's good to have that information. Responders should use precautions when they may potentially come in contact with a patient like that. It's good to know about the Zika virus and not having those kinds of carrying mosquitoes in Wisconsin, although I wish we could do something about the tick population and Lyme's disease.
Agreed.
But I know that's an entirely different conversation.
It is.
But we appreciate you very much sharing your time and information. Surely invite you back at any time to join us on the program to share updates as you have them and as, unfortunately, probably new viruses show up on the radar and you have to evaluate your risk factor. In caring for people and visitors and citizens throughout Wisconsin, EMS has an important role. So we invite you back at any time with any of that information as we move forward.
That's great. I'm happy to return anytime you would like me there.
Okay, very good. Stephanie Smiley, Director of Bureau of Communicable Diseases with the State of Wisconsin, Division of Department of Health, Division of Public Health. So thank you very much for being on the broadcast with us. We're going to take a real quick break, and then after the break, we're going to be chatting with Justin Foley. Justin is with EMS Road Docs. You're listening to EMS, Wisconsin EMS Live. We'll be right back.
J&B Medical Supply is one of the nation's largest medical product distribution companies. With thousands of top-quality EMS products and services at better prices, J&B Medical is your only call. Order a copy of their extensive catalog at jmbmedical.com or contact Wisconsin Territory Representative Josh Thibault at 616-915-6392. That's 616-915-6392. At J&B Medical, their mission takes precedence over margin. Frustrated with EMS equipment breakdowns? Is equipment sitting on the shelf waiting to get repaired only to be left with an unreliable backup, having to chase down or wait for a repair technician? If so, there's a simple fix. Cardiotronics is a single-source service maintenance provider dedicated to EMS equipment. They service several Wisconsin customers already. Besides repairing your equipment, they'll create a formalized maintenance program. They have three main objectives: reduce costs, improve reliability of your equipment, and minimize service events. Contact Craig Harmon at Cardiotronics today at 855-433-3427 or find them on the web at cardiotronicshealth.com. Make Cardiotronics your next service call.
Don't miss a beat of Wisconsin EMS action. Listen to EMS Live or download any previous show on demand in the archive. And now back to the program.
Welcome back to EMS Live in Wisconsin. This is Joe Cavelli, joined by Chris Anderson with Bell Ambulance in Milwaukee. Chris, do you ride a motorcycle at all? I never asked you that before.
You know, I did years ago when I was about 19. I bought a Honda Magna 650, for those of you who know what that is. It was $200, and I kept it for a couple of years. And one day I thought, you know, I don't want to kill myself, so I sold it. Nothing against people that ride motorcycles. We have some associates here at Bell who are big Harley people, and God bless them. But no, me personally, I do not.
Okay. Well, it's getting to be that time. And actually, and unfortunately, I saw on the news, I'm up by Minneapolis, but saw on the news, you know, a couple people were injured on their motorcycle. But it is getting warm out. We're getting into that 60-degree weather. Motorcycles will be a bit more prevalent as we get into the warmer temperatures. Springtime, obviously, around the corner, and your passion might be riding motorcycles. Well, there's a group of docs, nurses, EMTs, paramedics, and firefighters out there that have banded together, and they formed a group called EMS Road Docs. They're in Wisconsin and Northern Illinois. We're pleased to be joined by Justin Foley, who's with that group. Justin, welcome to the broadcast.
How's it going?
Hey, it's going good. We appreciate you being on today. Well, tell us, what is your group, EMS Road Docs?
Actually, we're not just in Illinois and Wisconsin. We've blown up over the past year. We've rapidly grown in 36 states. We're now overseas in Denmark, Germany, Sweden, Australia, South Africa, and Brazil.
Wow, that's very impressive.
Thank you. The Road Docs are a group of dedicated people who share the same passion for riding as caring for others. We have no affiliations with any other riding groups.
And how many are, you know, how would somebody find out more information in looking to join your group or what your group does?
We have a Facebook page that they can look at. The Facebook says EMS Road Docs of Wisconsin, or we have a website, www.emsroaddocs.com.
Okay. What are some things that you did last year, Justin, with your group? Did you do community events, fundraising events, set out and just do trail rides? What were some of the things that you did last year?
Our group does everything. We live outside ourselves. Last year, one of our major rides was the PTSD awareness ride. PTSD is prevalent in the healthcare community. Every 3.5 days, a healthcare professional commits suicide within the EMS community.
Mm-hmm.
And we have our Road Doc mission is to spread the word of PTSD prevention and awareness. We held a Greg Lindmark ride out of Kegel Harley in Rockford, Illinois. That raised $7,000 that went to the Greg Lindmark Foundation. Chief Deputy Greg Lindmark was a 26-year veteran of the Rockford Police Force who took his own life with a self-inflicted gunshot wound. He was dealing with PTSD. He was actually seeking help, but it's such a horrible... I can't imagine living with PTSD, but we're here to help anybody who needs to speak, or we can get you... Also, mm-hmm. We raised $11,000 for the Code Green campaign, No One Struggles Alone. This campaign raises awareness of PTSD and suicide prevention in the healthcare services, calling a code to our mental health. The Road Docs held a blanket drive for Grace Hospice and a hospice in Illinois. We brought new blankets people had made for hospice patients so that the families could keep those after the passing of their loved ones. We hold accident scene management classes. This is geared towards a bystander and the public. It's the great part about learning from the Road Docs is your instructors are all people who work on ambulances or have been in hospitals and have been in those critical situations. Accident scene management teaches you more than just vehicle accident, how to take care of somebody at a motor vehicle accident. It teaches about how to help, how to, you know, what so they prepared on what to do. This is for the public, but all the Road Docs will have taken this course in their career as a Road Doc.
I agree with you. Those are great statements, and I agree with you. I mean, people that are in this industry and business, they understand those things, and the opportunity to share and give and raise awareness, attention, and money are all a part of it. So we congratulate you and your members with EMS Road Docs in your work. That is phenomenal. The website to find out more information again is EMS Road Docs. So it's EMSROADDOCS.com. That's the website. I did take an opportunity to look through it. Very informative. A lot of pictures, a lot of events that you all have done. How many members do you have, Justin, and where are some of them located?
Boy, we have members from Green Bay down to Northern Illinois. Our roster keeps changing and growing every day. Unfortunately, I don't have the exact count, but our own chapter in Illinois has about, I'd say, 40 guys that are pretty active, that are really active, and then some people join. And in the EMS community, we don't have schedules. We're always really busy, trainings. So the EMS Road Docs works around that. If you can't make a meeting, that's fine. You know, we have an event coming up. You can't make it. That's fine. We want as many cuts as we can on an event. We want as much as you can give us. That's why I made captain. You know, I really put myself out for my group, for my organization. I believe in what we do. For EMS Road Docs, we do amazing things. We lost a brother last year on October 15th, Matthew Griffin. His road name's Bull. Bull was killed in the line of duty. He was an outstanding paramedic firefighter, a born leader. He was a teacher and took new EMS under his wing, trained and educated them. So the Texas chapter, Bull's family created the Bull Griffin Scholarship Fund, and that's to enhance somebody's career further their education. They received $10,500 from that fund, and Bull's two crew members that responded to his call received a scholarship to become paramedics. They raised enough money that they could send one more. The national board honored me with this scholarship. So I will be furthering my education this fall and entering into the paramedic program.
Oh, very good. Congratulations on that, Justin. Well, thank you very much for coming on today's program. It's an organization that I had never heard of. Patrick Ryan at Ryan Brothers Ambulance in Madison shared it with me, and we wanted to spread the word about your group, especially coming into spring and summer. Those out there might be looking for an activity to get involved in. Obviously, hearing you speak about EMS Road Docs and the great things that your group has done and elsewhere throughout the nation and world, it should be something that we're all aware of. But thank you very much for coming on the program today. We appreciate it. We encourage our listeners to refer to your website, emsroaddocs.com. Justin, have a good day. You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Chris, that kind of wraps things up. The half hour goes pretty quick.
Absolutely. But again, another great show. Lots of good information.
Yep, a lot of good information, and we'll just get a round of applause. We appreciate our guests coming on today, and for our listeners to listen to the broadcast. It is recorded. And you're welcome to share the recording shortly after, about 10 minutes after it can be distributed. I am going to just remind all of you, too, our next show is Tuesday, March 22, starting at 9 a.m. Our guests include Wisconsin DEA Supervisor Kathy Federico and American Ambulance Association, Washington, D.C. lobbyist Tristan North. We're going to be chatting about the recent legislation introduced in the U.S. House of Representatives that does impact ambulance services that do maintain controlled substances, something that you will definitely want to listen to. If you do maintain controlled substances and have a DEA registration number, EMS Live is broadcast live via the phone and internet the second and fourth Tuesdays every month. So don't miss a beat of the action. Listen to EMS Live. We appreciate your listenership. If you'd like to listen to any previous broadcasts in our archive, they are located at paaw.us. This is Joe Cavelli on behalf of Chris Anderson for the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin. We appreciate you listening today and wish you a great day.
EMS Live is produced by the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin, which is dedicated to healthy, sustainable ambulance and emergency medical services delivery in Wisconsin. Program comments can be emailed to emslive@paaw.us. That's emslive@paaw.us. Thank you for listening.